just to introduce our class, we're going to be having 4 weeks on the subject of marriage and parenting. Very excited about this series we're going to have. I really appreciate Richard taking the other group next door too. Tonight, it's mine and Chevy's chance to share. We, of course, just an introduction, doesn't need probably much introduction, but we became Christians in our early 20s, got married in our mid-20s as Christians, so we're that sort of family. Albert and Angela, in 2 weeks' time, they're going to be sharing, they became Christians in their 30s?
40.
Well, there you go. And then the week after that, and then of course everything, you know, because then, you know, Ben, or Sheree, Jamie, it's a little bit different because it was 10 years or so later. And then we're going to have, the third week, we're going to have Rudy and Lizelle share. There again, I don't know how to introduce yourselves, but I'll leave that to you. Should we say the blended marriage or something? Anyway, lots of, and then Chef and I will sum up for the last week. My heart's desire really is that we feel like we all relate to this class in one way or another. There are some who relate more maybe to me and Chevy. I think of Georgie and Nicole. I think of maybe some others, Josh and Bula. And the others who feel like, no, we relate more to Albert and Angela's situation. Others maybe, you know, some to Rudy and Lizelle's. So the hope is that we can all feel like we've really got something out of this class, and it's, we relate to this. We've purposefully mixed up the marriage and parenting stuff together, rather than going particularly down the just the marriage line or just the parenting line, but take some principles that we can use in a helpful way. So, wow, there's surrender. We didn't think about this. Surrender, happy birthday for next week. Tonight is going to be a chance for, first of all, me and Chevy and Ben Niles as well, to share some things. I would like to start drawing our attention, please, to a principle that comes across very clearly in Ephesians chapter 5. And the thing I would like to talk about here really is this, something I believe very strongly, and the Bible really helps us enormously with this, is that men taking responsibility for their families. Amen. There is a great tendency, maybe more so today than always, but men, I think often these days, be like, you don't need to get married, you know, the easy path, less responsibility, conflict avoidance, I believe also comes in here, and maybe the line I think of in the worst case scenario of anything for a quiet life, all right, that's sort of where I'm coming from here. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read, my Lord, bless your son. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands, ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and cared for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this body, and for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and his wife must respect her husband. There's a very clear message here about husbands loving their wives, and the parallel, of course, that we're given is Jesus and the church. It's a very helpful parallel for us. Jesus doesn't say, oh, well, you know, whatever goes, you know, anything for a nice, quiet life. as long as everybody has a good time, as long as all these church members are happy, then that's all that really matters. Some people do have that picture of God. But of course, we don't. We're well informed. We know very clearly that that's not the picture. Very clear principles laid down for us. And I believe that this principle is a very important one for us in our marriages, just for husbands in particular, to speak for husbands, that we do need to take responsibility for our wives and for our families, and not think that somehow, you know, in our modern age that we know better, that somehow that, you know, it's different today, but there's a great need. Now, maybe as our families get bigger and they become more complicated, there is all the more reason for that. So the first principle I'd like to use to think about for tonight, and hopefully we'll have a bit of time at the end for a bit of discussion. But is that husbands take responsibility for your families. Chevy.
One of the other classic scriptures, well, the other classic scripture when it comes to family, marriage and family, is 1 Peter 3, verse 6. And we all know how in that one, especially, there's a reference to Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. And we wives and mothers or potential mothers are told that we are her daughters if we do what is right and do not give way to fear. And I don't know about, I'm talking here now to the wives and the mums, whatever. It's very tempting as a wife and a mother or a mother to give way to fear instead of trusting God's plan and allowing our husbands to lead the family, to lead us, and when they come along, the whole family, the children and the whole family. And that's something that I think for me has definitely been a challenge, because I'm not a pushover. I know that. I'm quite a stubborn person.
Good
and
Irish.
I do have a lot of strong
good Irish
emotions. Stubborn and quite very emotional person. I understand that now about myself. I can be logical, but not very often. I'm generally emotional. I'm very passionate. I have a lot of very strong feelings. And there have been many times in the almost 30 years of us being married when I have really struggled in my heart with allowing my husband to be responsible and be the leader of the relationship and the family. And it's been really, I think, especially difficult. I remember one time very early on when we got married, we hadn't have any children at this point, we'd had no money, and I was used to trotting off home to see my friends in Ireland and my family two or three times a year, you know, whenever I felt like it. And Tim said, well, if you haven't got the money, if we haven't got the money, you can't go. And I was like, what? I've always gone, money or no money, credit card, yes, let's go. And I remember it was on the number 29 bus in London. And I was like, right, I'm going anyway. I have the credit card. And I got the credit card out of my pocket and I said, I'm going to go anyway. And I was so stubborn I didn't go, you'd be glad to hear. Yes, I managed to restrain, but God restrained me and changed my heart. And, but that just gives you an insight. And then when the children came along, my goodness, it got even harder for me because I couldn't handle, I mean, it was dreadful to be able to be in the same house when Tim was disciplining our children when they were young. Because I'm stubborn, but he is more stubborn. Without a doubt.
No, that's good, man.
God definitely gave me more than my match. And I remember so many times, there was one particular time with Alice, when he was like, come on, Alice, come to Daddy. And Alice was like, no. Don't know where she got that from. She was like, no, she was two. She still had her nappy. No, she's about one and a half. Still had a nappy, nice chunky little legs, you know, big nappy on. As a baby, I'm talking about as a baby. And I remember Tim saying, Tim had a 2-hour battle with her to get her to obey. And that involved things like putting her in her cot. She had a really loud voice. In fact, the day she was born, I thought she was a boy because her voice was so loud. And they said, actually, it's a girl. I was like, that's a girl? You know, she had such a loud voice. And I remember this day, and I was like, I can't, I'm going to bring up not the RSPCA, the other ones. And I was like, this is ridiculous. We can't treat our child like this. Because everything within me wanted to protect her and give her what she wanted, really. Anything for a quiet life. I was like, oh, let's just do this another day. You know, she's tired, blah, de blah. And for me, definitely as a wife, I've had to really struggle not to give way to fear, but to trust God's plan and to allow Tim to lead in my marriage and with our children. And I'm so glad that God has helped me to be able to do that. I think about even something like tiredness for children. As mums, it's so easy for us to make excuses for them, isn't it, when they're tired? And that was my definite tendency. You know, and even bringing them out on Friday nights when they're so tired at the end of the evening. You go home at 10 o'clock, and especially here where we travel a lot. Some of you travel a lot further than I ever had to travel, you know, because we only lived in Yateley for Bracknell. But when we were in London, we had a lot more travelling when they were very young. And, you know, just not to give in to the fear that, well, if they're tired, then they won't be ready for school on Monday morning. And if they're not good for school, they won't be able to concentrate. And that means they're not going to do very well in their exams. If they don't do very well in the exams, then they're never going to get a job. If they don't get a job, then they'll probably become wasters and dropouts and then they'll become drug addicts. And after that, they'll go to prison. You know that, and we laugh, some of us, Karen's laughing, because we relate, don't we, to that fear. So anyway, my principle is do not give way to fear.
So here comes the chunky-legged RSPCA. That was more embarrassment than I was told was going to happen. That's okay. So my principle that I was going to talk about was growing up being quite self-aware, which I think is something that both mum and dad really helped us to be. Just growing up to kind of understand our characters and our personalities, and I think. From quite a young age, I think, you know, I remember certainly being in junior school, so up to the age of maybe about 10, and talking to my parents about, you know, so I'd be talking to my dad, and I'd be like, well, I was really, I suppose you can't hide your character, especially when you're a child, but I used to get really cross, I still do, but maybe I internalise it a little bit more than I used to, and I think I was able to realise that that was like Dad in terms of the frustration, and so I could talk to Dad about that. But then also, I also remember being about 10 and lying to my school friends and telling them that I was able to go shopping by myself, but I wasn't, because they were able to go shopping by themselves, or they told me they were. And then I told Dad, and he said, oh, well, you know, this kind of people pleasing is like Mum. So anyway, just this idea of kind of having an awareness of our characters, because I think certainly now you know, having been a Christian for, I think, 8 years, I've realised that a lot of my struggles are my character. And a scripture this reminds me of is Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, which says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." And I think, you know, this idea of being a living sacrifice, and how sometimes we do have to, no, we can't change our characters, I suppose, but like do our best to work with our weaknesses. And also, I think the other thing is that it wasn't just, we didn't just talk about our weaknesses, you know, we really talked about our strengths. And I think I feel like I've learnt to see my character as a two-sided thing. So it might be that I was a people pleaser, but that also meant that I got on with a lot of people. And then it might be that I was very frustrated, but it also meant that I was very passionate or whatever, you know. And just the idea of really being able to understand myself, but also being able to understand my parents. It wasn't sort of like a one-way thing where they said, "You're dishonest," or whatever it was. But it was like a, you know, I particularly remember with Dad, it was like, "I'm frustrated. I get really frustrated." And I think maybe you do too, rather than kind of like a sort of top-down kind of thing. But that definitely has helped me, and especially just, you know, going to university and things like that, knowing that, you know, when I struggled with maybe feeling overwhelmed, I should talk to my emotional mum. And when I felt really frustrated that God wasn't doing what I expected, you know, I should talk to Dad, that sort of thing. So yeah, just having an awareness of our character and personality and strengths and weaknesses would be nice as well. Yeah, Ben.
So I wanted to talk about a bit about tough love. That was kind of my principle that I feel like was, exemplified through my relationship with my mum and dad. You know, like Alice has shared, you know, we all have our character issues, and I had mine. I remember being a big moaner as a child, you know, I'd moan about, you know, I'd moan and complain about things I didn't like doing, and if I felt ill, I'd grumble, and those kind of things. And, you know, that was certainly something that, you know, Dad was quite, mum and Dad were very firm in their discipline of me, you know, with, and I it's something now that I really feel like I've grown in so much, and I'm able to, you know, be joyful in situations I don't like, you know, I don't feel like I would like if I had the choice. And so I really feel like that's, you know, an example of how mum and dad were tough in how they disciplined me. You know, they were very firm. They didn't let it, they didn't let things go. They didn't let me complain. They didn't let me moan away. They were very much like, you know, this is not right. And there's a real need to change. But I want to talk about the principle of tough love, because I think despite the, or maybe coupled with the firm discipline, was a great sense of love from mum and dad. I think, you know, there was, I think it's hard as a child, when you're emotional, to have been disciplined by your parents, and then to feel like you can go back to them later, when things have cooled down. And that's why I suppose the love aspect of this was so important, because it allowed me, because mum and dad was so, just such an outpouring of love to me, I was able to think, you know what, you know, I have done wrong, I've been disciplined and that wasn't nice, but I know they're my friends, I know they really care about me. And that was something I think that was really an amazing blend of, you know, that real toughness, but then also that just that overwhelming sense of love and care. I was thinking about this week, and today I was at my first day of work, which is mad. Amen. Dr. Dana. But it was interesting. So as part of my dental work, we do this thing called foundation training, where it's like a graduate course, which practically the whole country does. And you have a lot of dentists who have graduated, and then you have, like, each of them have trainers, and then you have, like, a head of the trainers. And we met the head of the trainers today. And it was interesting because, you know, he's about, probably about 40, and he was talking a bit about his life and, you know, what it was like to be a a dad, you know, he does things like he's a rugby coach, but he's also a dentist. And it was really interesting, you know, he'd talk about how his family in a really quite interesting way, like, you know, I almost got the feeling that there were times where he just felt like, oh, I'm just so glad to be away from my kids for a while. You know, he had five kids, he's like, oh, it's so great to get away. I kind of understand that. But like, at the same time, it was felt kind of strange because I never felt like when I was a child, Mum and Dad ever wanted to be anywhere except with me and Alice. You know, what a great feeling to have, just that, you know, there's nothing Mum and Dad would rather do than spend time with me. You know, there was never this sense of, oh gosh, you know, 2 hours with them, an hour away, I need that hour away. You know, there was very much that sense of, I want to spend time with this person because I love them so much. And I think that, for me, made me feel so loved. But that meant that when I had to be disciplined, I had enough memory of, you know, what I'm really cared about to bring me back to be friends with them again, despite having been challenged by them. And I think that's a really important thing, you know, to make your kids feel so loved and so special that they always feel like they're wanted and they're always, you know, they're never toe rags or, you know, you never, they just want to like, you just want time away from them. I never felt like that. I can never, ever remember feeling that way. And what an amazing, that's credit to God working through Mum and Dad. I felt that loved and that sort of cared about. And that really helped me to sort of deal with the discipline that I needed to become less of a moaner and go back and say, amen, but I love these people because they clearly love me. So tough love is what I think was a really big thing for me, that coupling of discipline and firm discipline with just a real sense of, you know, I'm really, my best interests are at heart here and I'm really valued. So yeah, that's what I'm wanting to share.
Thank you. Just to pull it together here, so the principles that we've highlighted there are for husbands to take responsibility for their families, then Chevy showing that not giving way to fear. Alice's principle was to become more self-aware, that we are able to deal with our situations better. And then Alice and Ben there about about tough love.